Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. Today, we are strapping in for a deep dive that I think promises to fundamentally change how you view and hopefully how you handle conflict in your relationships. We're moving far, far beyond the battlefield.
This is such a crucial deep dive because conflict isn't just about what happened 5 minutes ago. It's a whole psychological landscape we really need to map out.
That's so right. And for this, we've been immersing ourselves in the incredible source material from Pitcot, specifically drawing insights from their best-selling ebooks on this very topic. So our mission for you, the learner, is pretty straightforward. We're extracting the essential knowledge you need to see the hidden causes of chronic fighting, and we're giving you a framework for immediate lasting change. This is really the shortcut to understanding the mechanics of conflict and, you know, dismantling them.
And because these insights are so powerful, I mean, they address the root cause, not just the symptoms, we really recommend exploring the full guidance in the source material. You can find all these helpful best-selling resources and ebooks right now at www.pitcot.com/books.
Okay, let's unpack this. When we think of fighting, we usually blame what? Anger, stress, maybe just bad timing. But Pitcot's analysis really challenges that surface-level view. It frames conflict not as a simple outburst, but as a deep, solvable psychological puzzle.
Exactly. We need to stop asking what we're fighting about and start asking why we're fighting at all. The surprising truth the source material reveals is that chronic conflict is it's rarely about the topic at hand, the chores, the money, whatever. It's fueled by deeper, unmet psychological needs, sometimes past wounds, or even just old behavioral habits.
So you're saying the fight over who lost the car keys is actually a proxy war for something else entirely. What are these deeper things driving us to fight?
Well, the sources identify two primary hidden motivations that, frankly, can be pretty jarring to recognize in yourself. The first one is a drive we can call seeking spark.
Seeking spark. Okay, that's just the focus completely. Tell us more. Are you saying people confuse drama with passion?
That's it, exactly. For some people, a baseline state of calm, of peace, it just feels dull. They equate high-stakes emotional intensity, even the negative kind, with being alive. The friction, the drama, the making up, it actually provides a genuine rush.
So it's biological.
It is. In a psychological sense, they're using conflict to generate adrenaline and cortisol, and the body interprets that biochemical jolt as engagement or even love.
That's a dangerous feedback loop. They're essentially addicted to the crisis. They need a conflict just to feel something.
Precisely. They've inadvertently trained their system to associate that, you know, high emotional volatility with intimacy. And the second primary hidden motivation is what we call seeking control. For many people, winning an argument or forcing their partner to submit provides a profound, though very fleeting, sense of power.
I can absolutely see how that plays out. It's often rooted in a feeling of powerlessness from the past,
yeah. Right?
Maybe a difficult childhood, a bad previous relationship, something like that.
Absolutely. The argument becomes a little stage where they can finally rewrite that old narrative. They're fighting the past version of themselves who couldn't win. They aren't actually fighting their partner. They're using their partner as a stand-in for an old oppressor.
But, okay, how do we draw the line there between acknowledging those past wounds and just excusing destructive behavior? Because understanding the why shouldn't be a free pass to be mean.
That's a crucial distinction, and the sources stress that understanding the why is the first step toward responsibility, not evasion. When past wounds are driving the bus, the behavior becomes, well, it's disproportionate.
Okay.
If your partner's simple request for you to take out the trash causes an all-out defensive meltdown, you know you're dealing with an old wound, a fear of criticism, maybe not just the trash. The intensity of the reaction, it always betrays the depth of the unmet need.
That intensity, that leads us straight into our next point, autopilot conflict. Because once these deeper needs get engaged, the fighting stops being a choice and just becomes a habit.
Right. It's a deeply ingrained habit loop. The sources make a compelling case that couples often don't stop fighting because they don't know how, but because the fight itself has become a comfortingly predictable routine.
A routine.
Yeah. They fall into these patterns, same trigger, same attack, same defense, and real vulnerable communication just takes a definitive backseat. The relationship is running on conflict autopilot.
It's the definition of a rut, but a highly damaging one. Can you walk us through some of the case studies from the source material to make this more concrete?
Certainly. We can look at a few different patterns. First, there's a woman named Mary. She's a 26-year-old admin. After a messy divorce, Mary became unconsciously conditioned to drama. She developed this toxic equation in her head that a partner who fights intensely is a partner who cares deeply.
So she's stuck in that seeking spark loop we talked about.
Precisely. Her body craves the intensity she associates with engagement. So she'll subtly provoke arguments when things feel too calm, just seeking that dramatic spike. And of course, this drains both her and her new partner's emotional batteries. It prevents the stable connection she actually wants.
Okay, and then we have Roger, who's a good example of the control motivation.
Yes, Roger. He immediately enters defense mode whenever his partner expresses a need. If she says, "I need more help with the house," he hears, "You are lazy and inadequate."
Wow.
He equates any request for change with a criticism of his entire self-worth. So every conversation becomes a battlefield where he has to defend his territory and win, or he feels fundamentally worthless.
So the relationship isn't a team. It's a courtroom where one person has to be proven right. Is there another example, one that shows how deep these patterns can go?
Yes. Consider David, a 40-year-old engineer. David's conflict habit comes from watching his parents argue constantly and loudly when he was a child. To him, silence equals danger, but arguing loudly, that's just normal intimacy.
So he recreates it.
He does. Whenever a conversation gets too quiet or too difficult, he defaults to yelling or aggressive interruption. Not because he's actually angry, but because his nervous system has learned that this is how you resolve things.
That is profound. They're all just acting out these inherited scripts, and it's robbing them of the ability to communicate authentically. The physical and mental toll of this must be immense.
The cost is devastating. And this is where the pit cop material is really uncompromising. This isn't just about feeling grumpy. The chronic state of alert wears the body down. All that sustained release of stress hormones like cortisol. It suppresses your immune system. It disrupts your sleep. It raises your blood pressure. It's mental exhaustion.
The sources use that striking analogy. Anger can solidify into one's identity, and when that happens, happiness and intimacy just vanish. It's like breathing smoke instead of air. You just can't thrive.
It becomes impossible to connect. You're constantly in fight or flight mode. This constant state of physiological stress means the damage is deeply physical, not just relational. You are literally shortening your life for a destructive habit.
And that realization that you are breathing smoke instead of air, that has to be the point of transformation. If you're recognizing these patterns in your own life and you know you need different tools, we really want to make sure you have access to the full scope of knowledge. We encourage you to explore the wider Pitcock community and all the additional resources. You can find everything we're talking about and more by visiting www.pitcott.com.
Recognizing the toll is step zero. The crucial takeaway here is that breaking this fighting habit is entirely possible. But it requires a conscious, structural approach, a real blueprint for change.
Let's get into that blueprint. What are the four core pillars that the source material lays out to move us off of autopilot and into, you know, conscious, healthy relationship building?
Okay, the foundation is built on four core pillars. They address your behavior, your motivation, your priorities, and how you see yourself.
Lay them out for us. Let's start with what sounds like the hardest one.
Pillar one, stop blaming. The immediate critical goal is to just pause the finger pointing. We have this default setting to externalize conflict. The goal is to notice your own contribution, even if it's just your defensive tone or the escalation. The sources suggest aiming for just one day where you simply refuse to assign blame.
That's so powerful. It immediately shifts the whole perspective from me versus you to us versus the problem. It reframes the entire dynamic.
Exactly. Then pillar two, understand the cost. We touched on this, but here it's formalized as a daily reflective practice. You have to consistently feel and acknowledge the emotional and physical toll the fighting takes. This requires asking that critical question over and over, is this the life I want? When the answer, that visceral answer, is no, the motivation for change becomes a real necessity.
That makes the stakes high enough that change feels worth the discomfort.
Okay.
What about the third pillar? This one feels like it could trip people up.
Pillar three, choose happiness over being right. This is the one that directly challenges that control motivation we talked about. It stresses the profound importance of prioritizing connection over the temporary ego boost of winning an argument. The sources are clear that victory is not worth the cost of lost smiles or damaged trust.
But doesn't that sound a bit like just being a doormat?
Mm-hmm.
Or suppressing your own needs? How do the sources clarify that this isn't just about avoidance?
That's a critical point. Choosing happiness over being right does not mean you abandon your beliefs or your needs. It means changing the delivery and the timing. It means saying, I value our peace more than winning this specific point right now. And then you revisit the issue later, when you're both calm and focused on a joint solution. It's about postponing dominance for connection.
That makes sense. It's choosing collaboration over competition. What's the final pillar?
Pillar 4, build self-worth. Anger and the need for control, they really thrive when someone lacks internal validation. When both partners genuinely value themselves, when their internal well of self-esteem is full, they stop seeking power or validation externally through fights. The insecurity-driven fighting just kind of evaporates.
And the beauty of this framework is its simplicity. It's not some complex theory. It's about consistent, simple behavioral shifts. Dr. Brenda Shoshana in The Anger Diet reinforces this exact idea. Big results come from simple, consistent choices.
Simple steps, yes, but they absolutely demand continuous presence of mind and commitment.
So let's make this practical. We've defined the pillars. How does the listener apply these rules in the messy, high-pressure moment of a real-life argument?
We turn the pillars into targeted actions. So for the blame game pillar, when you feel that tension rising, you have to institute a mandatory pause. You mentally step back and you ask yourself, how am I contributing to this escalation right now? Then you immediately redirect the conversation to something like, how can we focus on finding a solution together?
That intervention is crucial. It just halts that momentum toward the same old toxic ground.
Exactly. For understand the impact, the action is reflective. After a fight, don't just move on, take 5 minutes alone. Reflect specifically on the physical toll. Did your jaw clench? Is your head pounding? You have to connect the fight to that physical cost. It cements the motivation to avoid it next time.
It makes the abstract suffering feel really concrete.
To apply Choose Happiness, you need a real-time mantra. In the heat of it, you actively remind yourself, being right is secondary to being happy. You can even create a 5-minute pause rule where either of you can say, I need 5 minutes to choose happiness, and the discussion just stops until some clarity returns. The issue doesn't drop, the ego does.
And finally, applying the self-worth pillar in an actionable way.
You build self-worth through intentional self-care and by supporting each other. Engage in hobbies, personal goals, things that lift your self-esteem outside of the partnership. And crucially, you have to recognize and encourage your partner's independent efforts to build their own self-worth. When both people are individually secure, they approach the relationship from a place of abundance, not need.
That transformation, that ultimate goal, sounds like the most satisfying reward imaginable. Once you commit to this and let go of anger, what are the ultimate benefits the sources describe?
The benefits are holistic, really. Your health improves, chronic stress decreases drastically, and you start to attract more positive experiences into your life because your whole energetic output has changed. And the relationship itself transforms completely. It stops being a battlefield, you know, dominated by tension and resentment, and it becomes a true sanctuary, a place where laughter and warmth replace conflict and defensiveness.
That is the goal. Transforming a war zone into a sanctuary. This entire path is built on recognizing the why, taking conscious action, stopping the blame, and actively choosing happiness.
And the effort to let go of anger, it transforms not just your relationship with your partner, but your entire life. It's one of the most freeing decisions you can make, allowing you to focus your energy on growth, not defense.
A truly powerful final thought. If this deep dive has resonated with you and you want to start building that sanctuary today, we ask you to subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And if you love our show, please press the like button. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so others who need this knowledge can access it too. And remember, all the specific, actionable advice we discussed is rooted in the best-selling resources from PitGod. You can download those essential ebooks and start your transformation right now by visiting www.pitcot.com/books. And for all their other supportive content and community resources, you can visit www.pitcot.com. Thank you for listening to the PitCot podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you for being there with us.